With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to one, thank you for downloading this episode, and also to let you know about the Patreon, patreon.com/dykwia, where there is a bonus weekly episode every week now that we're in quarantine of a brand new podcast I'm doing called Top 5. It's only available on the Patreon. And if you listen to the very end of this episode, there's a little sneak preview of an episode I did with Ben Lomas where we count down our top five on a subject. And the subject that we chose for each other was breakfast cereal. That's right. We discussed the big issues. It's very, very funny. Just two people talking absolute rubbish. So that is at patreon.com/dykwia. If you are a $5 or more a month, that is American, I should point out. That is $5 American or more a month. You'll get access to all the podcasts, all the bonus stuff as well. If you are a dollar or more, you'll get free writing every week. There are other things you can do and you can get free access to if we do more of the live streams. Thank you everyone who bought tickets to those live streams. They were so, so much fun to do. And after the initial freaking out of, is this going to work? Are people going to watch it? The last three were very fun to do. Hopefully I'll do some more. Hopefully that's up to the people at Superdog Studios if they have time, because they're very, very, very busy. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and share it around. Hopefully I see you there over there on Patreon, because that's my only income at the minute. So thank you very much and enjoy this episode recorded over Zoom with Mike Goldstein, Andrew Wolf, Beck Charlwood and Tim Hewitt. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week I discovered I share my name with a man from the town of Lovely in Kentucky who was arrested by the police for driving at speed down the wrong lane of the highway, and then after his car crashed into the corner, he fled from the car and then spent the night in the woods until he was captured by the police the next morning.
Very cool.
That's awesome, man.
It's my namesake.
Fugitive.
I think he's the one who was also went to jail for robbing banks, because that guy's also from Kentucky.
Man, I want to hear his podcast.
What are you doing in the background, man? He's getting dressed.
I don't know. What? Someone?
No, sorry, I forgot to put headphones in.
It's like you're doing laundry in the background during the beginning of the pod. Fucking some respect, man.
I was watching Fast and the Furious. I lost track of time, man. Give me a break.
Which one?
He went back for another sausage roll. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really disrespectful when I'm doing this.
Hey, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, what I do, I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest is one half of the Phone Hacks podcast. He shares his name with the manager of Shrewd Food in New York City, a company that makes high-protein, low-fat chips. Can you please welcome, it's Mike Goldstein, yeah.
Hey, yep, Shrewd Food.
Yeah.
That's cool.
have you come across this
guy? What do they do? High-protein?
High-protein, low-fat chips.
Oh, wow. That's a niche.
Or crisps, yeah, no. I should say.
Usually it's just some like banker or finance or media guy, because it's always a Jew.
But, yeah.
You've thrown me for a loop with this Shrewd Food bullshit.
Yeah. But, as a Jewish man and dealing with those, you know, horrible, horrible kind of like stereotypes about calling your company Shrewd Food, what do you reckon?
Well, yeah, it's Stingy Chips was already taken, I think, so.
Our next guest shares his name with the University of Michigan's men's basketball team manager. Can you please welcome back to the pod? It's Andrew Wolf. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. A sportsman in our midst, hey?
Yeah.
Who would have known?
In the University of Michigan, school. They're a good team.
Yeah.
Is that a big, it's a good school, man. I'm getting into that basketball now with that Last Dance.
Huey's off again, by the way.
We lost Huey. Where's he going?
I don't know. He keeps just fucking off.
What's this? I can hear you.
Get him off the pod.
You can't fucking do house chores during a podcast.
He thinks because I haven't introduced him yet, he doesn't know.
It's so rude. It was my time to shine. I was just about to roll off on a Last Dance thing, but now that's gone.
What do you reckon? So you're not a basketball fan. Have you been watching The Last Dance?
Mainly for the fashion, hey? It's so good. Back in the 80s.
Those big jeans.
I'm loving it. They got to bring some of these looks back, don't you think? It's a sort of like Vanilla Ice look.
I hope they spend a good portion of, say, episode 8 just talking about when Jordan had a Hitler moustache. That was primo content, yeah.
That was a Freudian slip right there. You almost said when Hitler had a Jordan moustache.
That's how big Jordan is. He took it over from him. Hey, also joining us is a first timer to the podcast. She shares her name with the executive member for health, wellbeing and adults on the Leeds Council in the UK. Can you please welcome Beck Charlwood? Yeah.
Hey. Yay, it's me.
Have you heard of this other Rebecca Charlwood?
No, I thought I was the healthiest one. This is bullshit.
I actually thought it was that Beck coming on, the other one.
Well, she's
sorry
the member.
Sorry to disappoint you. It's just me.
For health, well-being, and adults.
Was it health, well-being, and adults?
Yeah, health, comma, well-being, and adults.
Just adults in general?
Yeah. Just. Which I don't know. I assume that's every other one that's not just the Minister for Children.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hit her up. I need some clarification on that. That's too wide of a topic.
And finally is a man who shares his name with a builder from Lilydale who runs his family business, currently rocking a 3.7-star rating on Google reviews, but it reads like a 4, Tim. It reads like a 4. Can you please welcome, it's Tim Hewitt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you. I'd kill to be this bloke from Lilydale. Sounds like he's got it going on.
Well, I'm sure that builder is way more professional on podcasts.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do my best for Josh.
I'm doing it over Zoom for the listener. You could probably already tell that, but it's over Zoom. And getting a good insight into everyone's... Wolfie's at his parents' house. Goldstein...
I can hear them around. I hear them near the door.
They're big fans of the podcast. They want to get
around.
Early.
Get away from here, Mum. Like I'm knocking on the...
Goldstein, are you in your bedroom? Is that your bedroom, Goldstein?
This is the spare room, which we've converted into my partner's office while she works from home. So those aren't my scarves.
That's what I was going to say. You got the scarves up there.
There's a lot of scarves there, man.
I've turned full Melbourne comic, yeah.
Like, that's, I wear that shit. I'm growing shitty facial hair. It's all there.
Huey's in the kitchen with one of the largest cat scratching devices behind him I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's
goes
three
all
stories
the roof.
High.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the real deal, man.
How
it's
much
like
that
Ninja
run
Warrior stuff, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah. 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 The cat's a pro athlete. I think it was like $300.
Oof.
So, yeah, imagine what I could have done with that sort of money. Boggles the mind, a number like that. Anyway.
Is the cat in good health?
Yeah, really good nick. Yeah, the cat's in really good nick, man.
Sorry, Huey just blew a kiss to someone.
That was to you, Josh.
Thanks.
Hi, Talia.
Hi, Tals. Okay, our first game today is called Social Media. In this round, I'll read out a post from one of you four. If you think you know who wrote it, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right. A point to the person who actually wrote it if you're incorrect, so you can't buzz in for your own ones. Poker faces on. Here we go. First question. Who wrote this? If you think rolling a condom is the biggest mood killer, then you've never removed your Invisalign right before going down on someone.
Tim. Goldstein.
Yes, Tim. I heard Tim first.
Gosh.
Was it Goldstein?
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Tim Hewitt. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, fuck it. But
what are we meant to do? Do we yell out our names?
Say your name first. So the listener
you can
knows.
He's got Invisalign on right now. You can see it. Reflecting up the light. Shining like the moon.
I took him out because I thought we might be studio worthy, but apparently not. That's fine.
Dude, you can see them. They're like racist because the lips sort of snarl up.
Do they snarl?
It looks sort of like, you're not me, but you got them. You can always spot them when someone's got them on.
No, I don't have them anymore.
They're a bit more slovenly, like you hear that bit in the mouth. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, they're out.
I can spot them a mile off now.
Bullshit.
How long have you had them for, Goldstein?
Oh, they're gone. Like, I had them up until end of Feb.
Okay.
So that tweet was sitting in the drafts for a while, and I only circled back to it because I feel like we all need content at this point. So yeah, and why not throw my partner under the bus as well?
Oh no, yeah, she's getting eaten out, mate. She's got no bus to go under. Except you.
You wear them at night, man. The Invisalign.
Oh, there's like a retainer plate
type deal you're meant to wear at night. So yeah, it's a cool thing for a guy that's pushing 40 to still be doing.
All right, question two. Kathmandu jackets are the uniform of couples that only do missionary.
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Beck Charwood.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, a point there for my Goldstein, Beck Charwood. Yes.
She's a great observer of shitty couples. And
yeah, it's because I'm always in one. Woo!
As someone who does wear a Kathmandu jacket, can I just say there's nothing wrong with missionary, okay? It's fine. But I did last year. I bought a Kathmandu jacket for. I used to hate them, and then I thought, "Fuck it, it's too cold in Melbourne winter. I need one." So there. I'm sorry.
Okay, you just want to really work on that one core muscle, that one group. Yeah.
So do you wear it while you're doing missionary?
My wife makes me. That's it. Just put it on. Put the hood on. Mm. I want to
bit of the goose down.
How do you accidentally end up in a Kathmandu store?
No, I just knew the jackets were warm. I was sick of being
cold.
Don't
you have to buy them at the camping store? Like, you have to get, what age group are you in? Like, what other reasons do you have to go in there?
I'm 30. Well,
I've never even been in this goddamn store.
Because
can you buy them somewhere else?
I'll tell you what it was.
You actually went to a camping store.
I went to the camping store because I took my kids to this winter solstice festival.
Oh, there you go. It's
fucking freezing. So I went, I'm sick of this. I can't be wearing a cool jacket. I'm past that now.
A man that doesn't take any risks anymore.
So I went and bought a Kathmandu jacket, and I've never looked back.
Punk is dead.
Do they have multi pockets? Like, can you carry around like a Swiss Army knife, another?
It's got
a flask of coffee, and
it's got two pockets on the sides, and just one in the, near the breast. There, that's it.
It's not bad, eh?
It's pretty good. I highly recommend it. You can't look like the Strokes your whole life, is what I've learned. All right, question three. Shakespeare wrote King Lear during the play, but he also wrote Macbeth, Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet, etc. at other times in his life. Turns out he was just a good writer and you're not. So just best focus on that shopping list for your stupid little nest.
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Wolfie.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Beck. Yes.
That was a really good one. I laughed out loud at that.
Yeah.
I was happy with that, man. It's very low quantity, though. It's 1 in 100 that hit. About 100 a day.
It's all we've got. It's all we've got
anymore. Is fucking tweets and see how.
Oh man, I'm running dry now. Hey, it's hard to come up with it. Can old tweets trying to tweet off tweets?
Tweets and just sharing photos of other friends of ours who are losing it in isolation and just sharing your groups.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's prime, hey.
Oh, it's so good. I just love the people who are doing it after like 2 days of it. I'm like, fucking hell, like this is great.
Oh yeah. It really was early doors when some of the big breakdowns were happening. It's like, oh, I reckon you're shooting your load early here, brother. This ain't a sprint.
The best are when they go offline for a while.
Yeah.
Which one was that? Like, did Greg Larson disappear for 3 days?
Nah, he's back. He's been good. Like, he
I know, but I loved it when he had the breakdown and then went missing for a week. Yeah. That was the hottest. No content is worse than content. You're like, what the fuck?
At least he didn't come back with a shaved head and playing guitar and shit. You know? That's the...
Yeah, true.
This is what I love, because the hairdressers are open again. You can get your hair cut. All these guys who jump the gun and shave their heads, it's like, give it 2 weeks, guys. You would have been fine.
There's some interesting looks going around, hey?
It just goes to show there's never a good excuse to shave your head, ever.
Unless it knits. Knits, I reckon.
No, treat them like an adult. Get a comb. Grow up.
100%, man. A shaved head is always a health problem. It's either you're bald or...
Chemo.
Oh, fuck.
Question four. Yeah, I've been known to eat at the wet markets, brackets, chicks' pussies, close brackets.
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Huey.
Yeah, that is right. We're there for Goldstein.
Any tweet about growling out chicks is going to be Tim Hewitt, no matter what.
Yeah, well, but I go raw, no Invisalign for me.
It was about
me,
growling
man.
Out chicks, Mike.
Oh, yeah, true. But mine like was more self-deprecating, where his is always like, I'm the king of eating chicks.
Yeah, something tells me you don't get into it like a growl, Mike.
Yeah, mate.
No, not at all. I'm social distancing away from it.
All right, question five. TikTok is by far the funniest medium to get cancelled through.
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Goldstein?
No, that was Tim Hewitt, a point for Tim.
Damn it.
Wow.
Oh, that's
going to add you on social media, Hewitt.
Oh, I don't have TikTok. It's the last frontier, I think, and
oh, I'm everyone has downloaded it.
Oh, I was going to say, take a long hard look at yourself.
TikTok's right in my wheelhouse for like 60-year-olds doing pranks.
Yeah, yeah.
I spend most of my nights watching it. It's so funny. Yeah, moaning in people's ears, tipping stuff on people in supermarkets. I mean, comedy doesn't get better than that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's great. That's why it's like, oh, come on. You can't go after someone for a TikTok. Like, it's not real life. Like, it should be, you know, open slather. You do what you want on TikTok, baby. Let it fly.
Are you and Amy Shark truther here, Tim? Is that what inspired you?
Yeah, big time.
What did Amy Shark do? I missed all of that.
How dare she do a mime of something that happened at Festival Club 2 years ago?
Oh, fuck.
What was your little message you said to me about that, Goldstein?
Oh, I wrote a parody song for Amy Shark to do. And let's just say I called her Amy Shark Fin Soup.
Yeah, I really like that.
When did Amy Shark join, man? Because when I looked at her a few weeks ago and she only had a few followers. She was new, right? She'd been there for a long time.
If one of us knew that information, it would be the most fucked up. Oh, yeah. She actually joined on February 6th.
But I've been monitoring and it's worked a lot.
Yeah, she joined, but it took her two weeks to actually make her first TikTok.
Next question. And we've already covered this, but we'd love to see a mandatory restriction on people to stay home unless they have a guitar and unfettered narcissism.
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Was that Wolfie?
No, that was Goldstein. Another point there for Mark. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I've been watching, as we've covered before, people's meltdowns, usually through Insta stories, right? That's there's so many of those little bars up the top of
the medium of a true psycho.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's just a slippery slope. And like Josh was saying, like, it's straight away you could tell who was going to be the worst.
Yeah.
And they haven't gotten any better. Well, like, maybe they've trailed off a bit, but there's a few people that were, like, the worst offenders in the first
couple
weeks.
For people who think we're being very mean, no, we know these people, and they're absolute narcissists. And so that's why we're finding it funny, okay?
Oh, yeah, it's the best.
If it was an actual emotional breakdown, it's like, no, these people are just wanting attention.
Yeah.
No, I'm enjoying the mean part of it, to be honest.
I just think it's really good to see so many average, multi-talented comedians, you know?
Next question. The best part of this pandemic is finding out who has rich parents and who I no longer need to feel sorry for when they bomb on stage.
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
That is Beck Charlwood.
You are correct. Another point there for Mike. Yeah.
Good.
So who are you? Were you subtweeting someone there?
I will not divulge my secrets. Okay, but I have a list that I can forward to everyone. Yeah.
Wolfie, those Venetian blinds are looking pretty good in the background there, mate. At the folks' place, brother.
Oh, timber Venetians.
Yeah, that's why they're at your door. They're trying to give you the fifth course of the meal you had for dinner tonight.
All right. Question 8. Landlords should not charge rent at the moment, but then be allowed to put you through a series of escalating, humiliating tasks so they can feel the rush of being a lord.
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Hewitt?
No, that's Andrew Wolf. Point there for Wolfie.
That didn't get much traction, that one.
I liked it. I put it in the show.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, thanks, mate. You shouldn't have given a fucking like on the Twitter, though.
I only saw it in the last day. All right, next question. Question 9. My parents seem to think we're in a golden age for forwarding emails.
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Beck.
No, that's Mike Goldstein. Another point there for Goldstein.
Damn it.
I forgot we're playing for points, man. I'm going to get in there.
Yeah, you better hurry up because you are losing.
It's turned out.
Is everyone else experiencing this? I don't know. My parents just forward so much shit to me, either just cute videos or just Corona information, and it's just overload.
Nah, man, I blocked mine years ago.
You live with yours.
The old IRL email.
It's only on the actual laptop.
Andrew, and our last question for this round. IKEA is just men asking, what do we need that for? And women explaining how a house works.
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
That is Beck as well.
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Mike.
Beck, do you still work at IKEA?
Maybe.
All right.
I don't want to divulge my place of work on the podcast because I'm there all the time now because it's my full-time job.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of us are actually doing well in the crisis, guys.
Was there a massive spike in IKEA? Like, were people going there and just, you know, panic buying tea-like candles and shit?
Big time. I definitely have Corona. Like, there was so many people there.
All right, at the end of the round, the scores are Andrew Wolf on 1 point, Beck Charwood on 1 point, Tim Hewitt on 2 points, but in the lead on 6 points is Mike Goldstein.
Oh, yeah.
Killing it. All right, this round is called Yearbook. Now, in this round, we talk about those moments from our school days, and today we're going back to uni to talk about a young Andrew Wolf. Now, at uni,
here we go.
Like most students, Wolfie found that he was a bit short of a dollar, so he came up with a scam. But what was the scam? Was it A, he would wear a white shirt and black pants and walk around the supermarket car park asking people if they would like him to return their trolley for him? Every trolley was a gold coin, and most people just assumed he worked at the supermarket and would let him. In 2 hours, he would make on average about $30. Was it B, he would go to Officeworks and buy a ticket book, like the raffle ticket book. He would then take it into bars and more often than not would use them for free drinks as they just assumed they were the drink tokens. Or C, he would organise big drinks for his faculty where he was studying and get everyone to chuck in $20 and hire out a local bar. Wolfie told everyone to hire the bar cost $100, but he actually got it for free. He would pocket that money and then drink for free because the bar, which never had anyone in it anyway, was super happy with him that he was bringing 100 people in at a time. One of those is real. Ask him as many
they're
questions
as you
want.
They're actually all true, guys. They're all true. I've been doing a lot more crimes.
Bear in mind, he wants to get it wrong, so he gets your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Ooh.
All right, so you would go to a bar.
If B was the true one, you would take a book of like raffle tickets.
Well, actually, that one, there were multiple tickets. I bought up the entire inventory of Officeworks tickets for events at university. Because, do you know, at university, they only had certain options to get tickets. And I thought, well, fuck, they're using Officeworks. So I just went in and bought every color, every variety. I spent like $100 on tickets. And I had it in a bag. And then I arrived at the events. I just go, oh, blue cardboard on the spinner. Boom. Do you know? And then we'd hand them out and we'd just live at large.
Well, I thought you would take them into bars and use them as they
No,
were.
The bar was it was miswritten. This happened at uni event.
So B's not true.
These were at uni events, man. And you'd go in there. And then at the end of the night, they would sometimes people would have tickets that weren't working. And they were like, we're not sure what's going on. Like, we had one ticket, one drink. We don't know what's going on. But we had got inside the game.
Right.
Right.
That was that one.
Okay.
I mean, the con's too complicated. I can't even keep up with the rules there.
Very simple con. You have the bag, you swap the bag, your sunglasses off.
What I want to know is that A, so you had a white shirt and pants, right?
Yeah, my dad had a white shirt and pants that went missing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you can keep a white shirt clean. I just want to know.
Lost his good shirt and a tie. But you'd go down there, you could also do window washing. When you're down there, that's another option. You'd say, I'll wash your window, sir, while you're away in getting your coals, and then just run off.
Hey, Wolfie, there's also another option. Did you ever think about a fucking part-time job, you rat?
I had part-time jobs. I couldn't keep them. I just kept stealing. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not filling? I'm just filling my pockets, popping DVDs. Couldn't resist. I was running a small crime operation.
Were you doing that in a rich suburb? Like, was this a nice Woolies or something? Because I can imagine that's the only way you'd get away with it.
No, man. What I found is actually the poorer areas are more generous. I was in a a lower class area, but they just want to, you know, they love to see a kid having a go.
Oh, so you'd rather from the poor.
It's not that poor. It's like Dunkirk, Glengarry shot.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Wolfie, the reverse Robin Hood. Rich kid who steals from the poor.
Spend that money on scratch and win tickets, you know?
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah.
Right. What was the payoff there?
To complete the circle. Well, it didn't pay off, but it could have. Hey, there's good prices on those pineapple games.
So what were the other options again, Josh?
First one was dressed like a trolley kid. B was have the raffle ticket books. And C was organise the faculty drinks and tell everyone it was $100 to hire the place, but the place just give it to him for nothing.
Clever idea.
Yeah, but was it yours?
What faculty were you part of, Wolfie?
Alpha Dog. Alpha Dog Amiga.
None of them are real, then.
Alpha Dog Amiga, man. We used to have events, and we continued it with comedy. A lot of people are doing comedy now. You know, you set up the gear, charge entry, and don't rescind the money.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do for a job. It's not a scam. I put an event on, provide a service. Yeah.
What kind of faculty is Alpha Dog Omega?
Well, mate, it's obviously outside of your league.
Yeah, I'm more beta cuck Omega.
You would have seen us occasionally on our prank days. We came and fucked you guys up.
All right. Well, that was fucking bullshit.
Dude, there's issues with this, though. Like, which one do you reckon? First or second? Eh?
Well, are we voting now?
Keep questioning.
I'm saying the only one that sounds mildly legit is A.
So you're looking A, that he would take his white shirt and black pants? Yep.
Yeah.
Beck, what do you think?
I mean, I would have gone A, but I don't think that's enough money to warrant Wolfie being a fucking scammer. I reckon, and B, I didn't follow.
It's hard to explain because it's not true.
You got lost in your own lie.
It was like a script from Lock, Snark, Smoking Barrels, wasn't it?
Oh, Lock, Snark, so good.
It's a terrible movie. I'm gonna go with C, just because I think there's the most payoff, and I think Wolfie's actually smart sometimes.
Huey, what do you think?
I was leaning towards C, but just for a bit of fun, and I sort of understood what Wolfie was trying to say with B, so B.
The correct answer was B, so one point there for Huey, 2 points for Wolfie.
So explain
this. So you do it at the uni bar. So my question still was fine, okay? You would take it into a bar.
No, it wasn't bars. It was technically bars. But basically what happened, you know how at uni they run events, right? The gold tie, the gold ball, this thing. And they always have drinks and they use coupons. But the only option for those guilds, the small guilds, is to go to Officeworks to get the vouchers. And there's various options like raffle tickets or these tickets or that ticket. And I just went and got every solution, right? Blue ones, red ones, black ones, yellow, everything. I just bought $100. I bought every single option. And then every event you went, like, they would use a different one, but I would always have it covered.
Yeah. Sadly, I do know what you mean, which is more frustrating.
Yeah. It actually works, man. But you know what? Some of the best events, you just went, like, the black tie events. Do you know when we were a bit older, you just go along to a hotel, you know, that's having an event just in a suit. You can pretty much just walk in. You know what I mean? It's like the real estate awards night, and you just wander in and drink until they actually said sit down for the awards, and then you just run off. Well, it was really fun because people would go, what? One of the colleagues is fucking sculling beer from a yard, or, you know, from a jug. Like, who's that? It's someone from IT or HR. They didn't know who you were, but we're just drunk.
Did you have a mate that would come and do this with you, or just you?
Just with a group of mates. And then all right. Who the fuck hired these guys? That guy's an animal. He's on stage yelling at the boss.
I feel like it was like a James Bond weapons case, but you open it and it's just all of the tickets.
It was so good. I was so popular on the night. I got really close to picking up. I didn't, but it was a possibility.
The scores are Beck still on 1 point, Tim on 3 points, Wolfie on 3 points, and Mike still on 6 points. Yeah.
Yeah, here we come.
Right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If it seems a lie, you say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong. So they get your point. So here we go to Wolfie. Now, Mike once passed out drunk on a houseboat that he thought belonged to his friend. When he woke up and saw a strange family, he realized it wasn't his friend's houseboat. But the family weren't angry at him, but they did ask him to leave. Yeah or nah?
So which, how long did you spend with the family after you woke up? Did you have breakfast with these people?
No.
Just as soon as I got up, they were like, you must be very confused. Can you leave? And I was like, yep, sorry. This was totally my bad. Well, I was very, discombobulated. I had no idea what was going on at first. But they were totally cool, and they just wanted me to get off their boat.
They weren't angry. No. Did they have kids? Because I would have been fucking angry if they had kids.
they had kids. Yeah. Where do you think I woke up?
What was this? What was the demographic of these kids? Like under 12?
Yeah, six, seven, something like that.
6 year old boy and girl, or boy or a girl?
I think it was two boys.
And you, where were you lying? You were lying on the boat or below deck?
It was like one of those pontoon style
houseboats, right? So it was just up top deck on like one of the benches that's like towards the front of the boat.
What were you wearing? Did you have one of your Jewish cap on? Or?
Yeah.
I wore my Jewish cap and nothing else.
No, but I'm saying, like, where were you? Was it for like a bar mitzvah, or where did you be?
Yeah, you know all those houseboat
bar mitzvah parties.
Seen the night before.
It was at the party cove
in the Ozarks in the Midwest of the States.
In the set from Ozarks, the TV show.
Well, the Ozarks is like
the massive lake region in the, like, about a 3 hour drive from where I grew up.
So you're now actually in a scene from Ozarks, the Netflix show. Like, you're on one of the houseboats on that river.
Sure.
No, man, I'm out. This is bullshit.
You think you are incorrect. It was a true story. Put it for Mike.
100% true. Yeah. I was just like, so you go Party Cove and there's, everyone's got their boats docked, and I just wandered off so fucking shit-faced, had no idea like where I was going, but thought I found my friend's boat. Woke up the next morning, my friends had all gone home. They thought they'd lost me or I'd drowned in the lake or something. And then one of the other guys had to come pick me up on a jet ski. So it was total white trash America.
Oh my God. So,
dude, that sounds like the coolest weekend ever, in my opinion.
It was pretty good.
No wonder you moved to Perth.
Oh yeah. Perth was a perfect fit for me after that.
Were they living on the boat when they wake up and see you there, or were they just rocked up to go for a sail?
I don't think anyone was on there when I passed out the night before, but so they came on and they just found them. If they near Party Cove, it must happen to these people all the goddamn time.
So
we've been watching the Ozark show on Netflix, and my partner's like, is it really, because they're at Party Cove for one of it, and I told her the story, and she was like, oh, they're really that disgustingly white trash. And I'm like, totally.
I heard on Ozarks, the show, they said it's for blowing. It's not that good, that Party Cove.
I was one of the
tourists probably that they hate, Yeah.
All right, to Mike now. At Beck's high school formal, her mum offered to host the party at their house. All week, Beck had been hiding alcohol around the house, as she knew her mum was quite strict about that kind of stuff. When they got to the house, though, after the formal, her mum gave every kid a Cornetto ice cream and told them to ring their parents to come and get them. Everyone was home before midnight. Yeah or nah?
All right. So, okay.
So you had the... It was your choice, obviously, to have the party at your place.
Yes, kind of. So I like floated the idea. I was like, oh, no one's having afters after the formal. And my mum was like, well, why don't we have it here? And she's like so strict. So I was like, what? It blew my mind that she would want to host the party in the first place. So I should have known something was like afoot,
Right. So knowing that she was strict, you were still like, yeah, let's have it here. I could get one buyer. I'll hide the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then you'd all get secretly shit-faced and then pass out on a houseboat.
I just assumed that she'd changed.
Yeah.
We weren't that rich, okay? We weren't Dunn Craig rich, all right?
All right. So I don't know. I just feel like you wouldn't have thought she had changed if you were hiding alcohol, right? You would have been like, can we all booze? What are you, 17, 18? What is this?
17. And I love to lie, though. So, you know, no right. questions asked.
Okay. And the Cornettos, like, explain that part again. So your mom gave out Cornettos at the end of the night and sent everyone home?
Yeah, yeah. We had one of those, like, big chest freezers, and she just started pulling out four packs. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't good.
Yeah, that's bad. So that sounds like a... like a drama school rap party you kind of end up at. We're like, that's like the best thing is Cornettos. I don't know. I think you were probably a boozer and your mom was aware of it in high school. So I might say, nah.
You are incorrect. This is a true story. Shit. A point there for Beck.
Fuck it. I was traumatized. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm real cool now, so it's fine.
So is this your year 12 formal? So at least you didn't have to see anyone afterwards, right? Like
No. At my school, they did it at the start of the year because it's a fancy school. So they were like, we don't want you guys to fucking do anything. Like, we want to look you in the eyes after this, so you better fucking behave. So it was like at the very start of the year.
And what happened on the Monday at school? Were photos circulating of the after party?
I started my long journey to having no friends throughout year 12.
Yeah. Beck actually got expelled for hosting the lamest after party ever.
Well, Cornetto's pretty good. I'd fucking take it to Cornetto.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, they were the, like, fucking caramel ones too, so they were pretty good. She got one thing right, you know? No foul on Juliet.
Just everyone just go drink in a playground. That's what we did.
Well, she was watching. We couldn't go then. But we already had the Cornettos in our hands.
Cornetto, yeah. You got the sugar rush. Go fucking do some chin-ups on the monkey bars. All right. Now,
is that what they're calling it? Oh, sorry.
When Tim went on school camp, a student on the camp who was at the school on a choir scholarship brought with him a knife. A knife which he used to stab his mattress about 40 times. Yeah or nah?
Wow. Okay. So explain to me a choir scholarship. Like, is that something they get in? Because if a choir is a group, so wouldn't he have to be part of, it would be a group scholarship?
I think, you know, there's a few boys that shine in a choir and I think he must have been one of them. I don't know. I wasn't in the choir, but I just know that he had a part scholarship or something because of the choir.
Okay.
Also, a hugely risky investment, by the way, to give a kid a scholarship when their voice could break and just like at any point. But I believe that's what, old mate got some.
Can I just say, Wolfie has changed the position of his laptop. So now it looks like I should put on a Kathmandu jacket and do a missionary.
I'm just going to lie down. I've got a stiff leg.
Yeah, the leg. All right, well, back to Beck's questioning.
Goldstein. Shut up.
Yeah, you don't ask questions.
No, it's me. Okay, fine.
Unbelievable. Let the woman speak, please.
Tim Hewitt once again proves he's an ally on this show. Last time you were on here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim. I'll suck you off later when this is all over.
Yeah. You guys have to get off this Zoom call right now. It's me and Beck. Fucking hell. So back to old mate.
Like, Goldstein, you can ask some questions, because honestly, you're probably closer to the truth.
Yeah. The camp was a choir camp? I didn't understand.
The camp was like this school camp that we had to do where we'd go to like a rural place and we'd do school for like 2 months and it was supposed to like toughen us up or whatever.
2 months?
We'd have to 6 weeks or whatever. We'd have to go...
6 weeks isn't 2 months, Tim.
I know.
The cracks are showing.
I was hamming it up. A month and a half. Sorry for a bit of bloody dramatic license. Bloody hell.
It's just so hard to know what day it is, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It honestly was as bad as quarantine living out in the country. and we all sort of started going a bit crazy. And then it was like you could go to town on, like, you get to go to town and buy some stuff and come back to the boarding bit, and like everyone went through a phase where you could buy knives from this like dodgy bloke that was selling like switchblades and stuff, And yeah, the choir guy got one. Yeah.
Why did he stab his mattress? Like, do you know what the motivation was?
Well, you know, at camp in the country, you got a choir scholarship. Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Why would you find out about him stabbing it? Like, wouldn't that be something he just did quietly on his own terms?
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd think so, but also, it's not a silent thing to stab a mattress at night when 100 kids are living on that level. I think, yeah.
Word Why didn't out. Someone stop him, man, at 30 stabs? Like, no one intervened.
I think
you have to wait for all 40, man. Step
yeah,
in.
I think he like tried to cover it by flipping the mattress. Like, it'd be like the perfect crime. No one will ever know. Yeah.
Wait, what was his name? Not like last name, what's the first name? Actually, no, say the whole name. Bleep it out, Josh.
No,
I need
I can't
to know.
Say the whole name. his first name was Kale.
he just looked in the kitchen
and
saw some
looked off into the distance. I'm going to go with nah. I don't think this is true.
You are incorrect. This is a true story and the real name, which I'll have to bleep out. Yeah.
No! That was great acting, Tim.
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
Have you kept up with Kale? What's he doing now?
Yeah, dude, we're fucking like... He's tight as...
What prison's Kale in now?
Yeah. He has to make his own knives when he does mattress stabbing. Sharpened toothbrushes and the type.
So was the camp really 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Your parents must have loved that.
Yeah, man. Imagine how much bucking they got to do, dude.
were you singing on the camp? Did you do some choir or not?
It wasn't a choir camp.
No.
This kid was just at the school in the choir.
Okay.
That was what his thing. Mine's probably like, you know, playing rugby, getting pussy.
Growling down.
Yeah.
All right, now to Huey. When Wolfie did the running with the bulls, as the bulls approached him, Wolfie just grabbed a smaller man and used this man as a human shield. Yeah or no? <nah? laughs>
I mean, I don't even feel like I need to ask any more questions. All right, when did you run with the bulls, Wolfie?
Oh, mate, I reckon 8 years ago. Hey, it was a long time ago when I was in Europe. Yeah. I went on one of those cheap packages, the three nighters, where you're just in a campground. It was, I think we were in a campground about an hour away from the event.
Did
and
you
then
just...
you drank all night and then ran in the morning, like you just and, stayed out.
And did you just rock up with 1,000 different coloured wristbands and just? Figure out which one would get you into the bulls.
I got three running with the bulls. With an office work voucher.
Yeah, great. All right. How long's the run? Like, how far is it?
Oh, dude, it's actually not as long as you think. It's like, it's 800 meters, maybe a K max.
Mm-hmm.
It's a K, but it goes through the streets and these cobblestones. Like, it's generally fine. There's just one corner and... Because we were drunk, like there's a lot of bravado, so we started as far, like as close to the bulls as possible. So it wasn't good.
Did you wear a white outfit? Did they make you wear like a white outfit?
Yeah, you got the white, and you wear like a red scarf. So
yeah,
you can cover your mouth if your friends see you. Sort of jump the fence and run off.
Oh, great!
Coward.
Yeah, that would be a coward move, as opposed to throwing a little bloke in front of a bull.
Man, I basically, because you can see them coming and you get terrified because it's not actually the bulls, but you see the panic on people's faces because you run and you look back and then you can see the camera flashes going when it's coming. And then I sort of tucked in against the wall with people and then grabbed a smaller Italian man and sort of pushed him up. Because, you know, there was a lot of bravado before you ran, but once you're out there, all bets are off. I just wanted to head home, you know. I didn't want to go down.
How could you tell he was Italian as opposed to Spanish, the home country?
Everyone over in Europe looked Italian to me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Was it a man or a child?
They had a handbag on. That's all I
know. I'm gonna go with. Yeah.
You are correct. Yes, that is a true story. Point there for Tim.
All
nice.
True.
Yeah.
I made it through as well, so there you have it.
Mm.
Did
Was he injured?
You, mate.
What's it?
Was he injured, the small man?
No, he wasn't, man. The Bulls got caught up on someone on the ground, so we're all fine.
Oh, except for the dude on the ground.
My brothers did it as well. They did it like in 2006 or something like that, like ages ago. Hmm. But my younger brother got pulled up a wall like 100 meters down. Like he was running and then jumped something and then someone just grabbed him and pulled him up onto their balcony and that was it for him.
Yeah. You can get pulled out if you put your arms up.
Yeah.
You know, the most dangerous thing is the drunks, because you drink all day, that it's afterwards everyone goes to this fountain and jumps off it.
Yeah.
And you get caught by the group, but because they're trashed, you know, like I saw one or two people just sort of land on the concrete. Oh. Do you know, like they're constantly doing it, and then people are like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. And it's very disrespectful. It's a fountain that's like sentimental to the Spanish, but the whole thing's disgusting, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad, especially the final thing in the arena. They just sort of play around with some of the smaller balls. It wasn't great.
Yeah, that's why I didn't do it, because I love animals. That's why my brothers did. I didn't. I was like, nah, not for me.
Were you actually there and didn't do it?
No, I wasn't there.
No, yeah.
Didn't go.
I wouldn't do it again.
All right, at the end of the round, the scores are Beck on 2 points, Wolfie on 3 points, Tim now on 5 points, and in the lead on 7 points is Mike Goldstein. All right, this is our final round. It's called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions. All about you. For if you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names, your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. Here we go. Who here took 7 tries to complete their driving test?
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Beck.
Yes, you are correct. Yes.
Brutal.
Sexist.
Yeah.
Comes through at the end.
Now, you put this up on Twitter. Is this true? You took 7 goes to get your driver's license?
Yeah, I'm really bad at driving. I'm from Perth and I'm a woman. What do you expect?
Oh, yeah, Perth people are known for being shitty drivers.
They're so bad. My mum moved over to Sydney last week and I swear to God, she was meant to come see me and she couldn't drive down my street. She's like, it's too thin. I can't get down it. And I was like, good. Don't come visit me. I don't want to see
you. What I find in Perth, because my wife's from Perth and she's from Duncraig. She's from Wolfie's neck of the woods.
Hey, we're both from like very close areas.
Yeah, when I drive that highway down into Northbridge, when I'm doing...
It's so big!
The Mitchell Highway, no one stays the speed limit. You feel like you're being dangerous by driving 100. Everyone's driving 120, 130. And so you feel like you need to go that fast. And I don't know what's going on.
It's so wide though. Like it's so huge. People are like, there's no end to this. There's no boundaries to my life.
But they know you're just
the brick wall I'm going through at the end of it.
They're all on meth, so they're just fucking flying.
And everyone's listening to Darude Sandstorm, so you know.
All right. Next question. Whose partner's auntie recently sent them 45 kilos of kitty litter in the mail?
Mike.
Beck.
Yes, Mike got in first. Yep.
That is Huey.
Yeah, the man with the giant cat thing at the behind him.
Yeah, do you want some G?
Well, yeah, I'll take some. If you got some spare litter.
Pretty good stuff. It's and we just bought another bag. So there's 60 kilos on the balcony at the moment.
How much does a cat go through in catty litter?
Oh, I reckon that 15 kilo bag would last at least 2 months, 3 months. So we probably got 2 year supply or something like that. I don't know. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, that's your improvising isolation workout. So that's your litter.
Yeah,
bags,
dude. Trying
squats.
If you do a few squats with those. Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All sorts. Just praying it doesn't split over my head and be covered in 15 kilos of kitty litter shit.
Next question. Yeah. Who was sent home from school because they went to school dressed as a dead new kid on the block?
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Wolfie?
No, it was Goldstein. Point off, Beck.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's me. I think, that shows how old I am.
Yeah.
Right?
Which one?
Jordan.
Is it
Because he was the main dreamboat. So no.
Oh yeah,
not,
he was the hot one.
Yeah, he was the hot one. So I was like, you know, I was a hot kid as well. Yeah. So it matched. So I went as Jordan, and people were upset, and I got sent home to change.
So when you say dead, did you have like ghoul makeup on and stuff?
Yeah,
as well?
Just like the fake blood coming out and like half a knife thing stuck to the head. Yeah, and I wore a New Kids on the Block shirt, which I actually had to buy to rip it up and then like put the fake blood on it and stuff. So
I wish you kept doing good character stuff.
I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Next question. Whose dad almost killed them on New Year's Eve by letting off a lit firework in their direction?
Mike.
Tim.
Yes, Mike.
Oof. I was going to say Huey, but then he just chimed in with his name. So I'm going to say Wolfie.
No, it was Beck. A point off, yeah. Mike, there.
Ah.
Had a vibe.
Yeah. Plot twist, it was also my stepdad. That would have given it away, you know.
So where was this? This was in Bali, right?
Yeah, my whole extended family went to Bali for New Year's Eve. Like, fucking legends, obviously. And we had a fight at dinner, and then the whole group separated. And then later on the beach, my stepdad lit a firework, like, directly at us. And he's like, no, I don't know. Like, it just happened to go that way, and everyone's like, we saw you aiming it at us, Jeff.
Oh my god.
Now you told me what crazy... the fight was over. Can you share it with the listeners and the other guys what the fight was, what happened that caused the rift in your family?
So basically one of our family members, my cousin Carla Wills, also a comedian, said the word cunt at dinner, which didn't go down well with the boomers, and they lost their minds. There was just so much yelling and screaming. So we're like, nah, doesn't matter. It's New Year's Eve. We're fucking separating. We're not dealing with this shit.
I was going to say, what could it possibly be if it, like, this is such a wild change from a family that are like, cornettos for formals, and then it's like, we're going to Bali to get fucked up in here.
Yeah.
And we're going to fire fireworks at each other.
It's crazy. Like, I don't understand my family's brand, to be honest. It's like, they're from Perth. They love going to Bali, but they hate swearing and they won't, like, get lit up. But then also my stepdad has a Southern Cross tattoo. And it's like, of course you love the word cunt. Stop lying to everyone, Jeff. Stop fucking my mum, Jeff.
Next question. Who, the first time they got drunk, was from alcohol they stole from a catering job they were helping their mum with?
Wolf. Beck.
I heard Wolf first.
Fuck!
That would have been Goldstein.
No, it was Timmy. It was Tim Hewitt.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Fuck
you.
Yeah.
Goldstein did catering work.
That was my point, dude.
Yeah. My mum, she's done, caterer for 20 plus years. So I had to help her out from when I was 12 years old. And yeah, me and some of my mates snuck a bottle of Absolute.
Help her out by stealing her inventory, eh?
The wedding or whatever, they provide the grog. You know, it's a 50th birthday. We just do the food. They do the grog. But the boys mucking up a bit.
So that was the first time your drink was vodka?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I've had I would have had beers, but, you know, not like, whoa, man, I'm feeling it, dude.
Yeah, mine was Bacardi and orange juice. Fucking cannot drink it ever again.
Yeah, mine was Ouzo.
Ouzo.
Yeah. Oh,
Tim loves that.
Well, like,
what was yours, Wolfie? First time you got drunk?
I don't think I can remember. It's been a blackout since then.
Wolfie's still technically on his first bender.
I get a bit down.
What was yours, Goldstein?
Mine was actually Zima, which is like a vodka lemonade. It's basically a Bacardi breezer, and so I've been a Alco Pops man to this day.
Yeah, real slut.
What do you got there, Wolfie? You're on the beers.
It's one of these.
A little fat yak.
They're not.
They're our major sponsor.
By fat yak, we mean Wolfie's got his dick out.
Next question. Who once convinced someone else to get a tattoo saying, if you do it, I'll do it, but the person in this game never went through with it?
Oh, Tim.
Yes, Tim.
That was Wolfie.
No, that was Goldstein.
What was the tattoo?
I was in a Screeching Weasel cover band for about 2 months in high school. And
Dude, why haven't you gotten out your guitar to jam yet?
It's
on the
only
gram?
A matter of time. Like,
get the shirt off.
Yeah, you'll see the Insta stories in a few weeks.
I'll
just
thank
be cranking
God.
Out some fucking Weasel.
What was your best song? What was it called?
It was all cover songs, so it was all Screeching Weasel shit. And then we played one gig, and it was a friend's house party, and we quickly realized we were the only ones who liked Screeching Weasel.
I think you still are the only ones that like Screeching Weasels.
Yeah, and I convinced the guitarist that if he got the Screeching Weasel logo, which is a weasel in a leather jacket smoking a cigarette, if he got that tattoo, I'd do it as well. And he went out and got it on his shin, a massive weasel smoking a cigarette.
Oh,
and
God.
And I didn't follow through. And now he's a successful doctor, and I'm the one that should have the shitty tattoo.
When Josh first read the question, I thought it was that the tattoo was red. If you do it, I'll do it. I thought it was the complete mug
I thought
off.
That too.
Where you're like, yeah, I'll do it too. This poor guy's just got that written on.
Also, him. For any listener who doesn't know what the image that Mike's talking about, just Google David Quirk and you'll see him wearing the T-shirt. Every photo in the last two or three years, he's wearing that fucking T-shirt. So,
oh man, I thought you said you'd see the tattoo. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Quirk's a doctor.
Next question. Who once climbed up a drain pipe 5 stories and broke into a locked house through the skylight?
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
That's got to be Wolfie.
You are correct. That is Wolfie. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's how he gets home every night.
Yeah, his parents actually haven't given him a key.
Yeah, where
man.
Was this,
no, it was in London.
Yeah.
It was London.
And it was your house, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, hey. Like, it was good. Like, I don't know. I was locked out and drunk and then just started climbing. And one thing led to another. But it was quite scary. At level 4 was quite scary on the pipe. You're like, fuck, I hope this is drilled in properly, but we made it.
Fuck, that was a Perth thing to say. Level 4 scary on the pipe.
There's no real plan to get in. There's no plan to get in, and then I worked out I'd have to go through the skylight, so you have to sort of break that. But we went in. I got in.
Question 8. Whose mum recently sent this person a text to say that they were stuck on the roof?
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Wolfie.
No, it was Tim.
Oh,
point off, Beck.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's too close for the brand.
Yeah. Like mother, like son. No.
So wait,
yeah.
Wait, but she's in Brisbane, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, I know. I think she just enjoyed that she had a really good bit. Like, I bet she sent that to so many people. And it was true. Like, yeah, it just said, and it also said, "Mum's on the roof." Police help! I'm like, oh, talking in third person.
So how'd she get stuck on the roof?
Well, she's a very stir crazy woman. So she's like a child health nurse and is a full time caterer as well. Obviously, the catering's slowed down a little, and so she just can't stay still. So Dad was going to work, and she's like, "Oh, I'm going to clean the gutters." He's like, "Do not clean the gutters while I'm away." She's like, "Oh." And she got up and she did a bit and then she's like, oh, trying to get this big bit of the roof or something. And anyway, my sister put the ladder out for her and then my sister left. And then Mum's really short, if you can believe it. And her little stubby legs couldn't get back down onto the ladder. And so she was just stuck up there. And for some reason she had her phone. And so I guess she's just texting. And then she's like, but you know our neighbor Sandy? Yeah, she got me down. They got me down. I was like, I don't know this person. I don't know Sandy. I don't know what is wrong.
Is your family the Three Stooges?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Next question. Who, the first time they had pot brownies, thought their legs went missing?
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Beck.
You are correct. Yes, that is Beck. Yes.
Yeah, the only time I ever got high to this day.
Now, you told me this was at a Perth party full of comedians. Were Mike and Andrew there?
No, you guys, I don't think, definitely you two weren't. Mike wouldn't have come. You were way too cool. It was a couple gigs in and I was like, man, I want to make friends with everyone. And so I was like, guys, I'm having a party and I'm making pot brownies.
Your mum's like, no Cornetto, no weed Cornettos, please.
Oh, man. But then I'd never made them before and I'd never had weed before. And then I had three of them at once. Oof. And then literally within half an hour, I was like, I've got no legs. And then I vomited all over my lounge room floor and everyone left real quick. But look at me now, Perth scum. Look at me now.
And our final question for the game. Who as a kid asked their dad what the word riveting meant? And their dad replied, it's to do with connecting two pieces of metal.
Beck.
I heard Beck first.
Fuck. Huey.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Beck.
Yes!
Yeah,
well, nice.
You tweeted that, didn't you? I'm sure.
Yeah, it was in regards to Space Jam. Oh. MJ yeah. MJ does a big speech and then Bugs Cage, yeah, riveting stuff, Doc. And I was like, yeah, what's riveting me? And then he gives him the score to the secret stuff.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Wolfie on 2 points, Beck on 2 points, Tim on 5 points, but our winner on 8 points is Mike Goldstein. Yeah.
Yes.
Yay.
Champion.
Well done, Mike.
Now, Mike. Thank you. Because you win, you can plug whatever you want to plug first. You have the Phone Hacks podcast.
Basically that's all I have going for me right now is the Phone Hacks podcast with Nick Capper, and get it wherever you get your podcasts. We swap phones and play little phone pranks on each other.
The one you sent me the other day, is that one been released yet, or is that still to come?
No, we had Ari Shaffir on, but that won't be out for a few weeks. Right. But we got him to post something, and it went off.
Very, very good.
Yeah, it's blown up.
Hey, Huey, you got any stuff that people can see?
I got a few videos I've been doing in isolation about my character Big Huey, which is like a footy show thing. But I think, I don't know if I can say, but I might be doing that character on an ABC thing as well.
Sweet.
So look out for that.
Hell yeah, dude.
Also, and that thing, the cameos from people like Buttle and who else is Daniel Walker on as well?
Oh, yeah, the Big Huey ones. Yeah. Bunch of great people on it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Beck, where can people see you or hear you?
I've got a podcast, The Ladies' Guide to Dude Cinema. excuse me. And I got a sick Instagram. So many Instagram stories. If you want something 24/7, at Beck Loves Food.
She's doing song requests on the ukulele.
Yeah, I'll get my shirt off. Whatever you want, guys. Yeah, I'm here for my fans.
The bottle flip thing you've been doing with your dildo.
Dildo.
That was.
Yes. Well, it's not mine. That's very accusatory. I could only hope to fit a dildo that big inside me. You know,
it is very funny. But I just opened up Instagram the other day. I wasn't thinking, and I was sitting next to my 5-year-old kid, and that video came on. So I had to scroll.
Suck it.
He didn't see it. He didn't see it. And Wolfie, where can people see you?
Oh, mate, well, I try to go for a daily walk, 30 minutes. If you want to come and help motivate me, I'll be down the park. I don't have any content, man. I got nothing.
Follow you on Twitter, though. You're dead at the wheel on Twitter? Is that your...
Dead at the wheel, or you can see me on Josh Earle's podcast.
Yeah, this is it. You've already done it. Hey, thanks everyone who watched the 4 live streams I did. That hopefully we'll do some more later on, maybe in a month or two. Just the people here at Superbowl Studios need to have a bit of a break from all that kind of stuff, because we're working 7 days. Thanks everyone for playing. I'll see you next time. Bye. Welcome to Top 5, the show that counts down the 5 most important things and stuff that doesn't matter. My name is Josh Earl, and joining me this week, which is the first show, so joining me for the first show, some people call him the King of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call him the King of Tweets. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to find out, is he the King of Lists? Can you please welcome Ben Lomas?
Yes! The King of Lists. That's right.
The King of Lists.
I do like this topic because it does feel like we're doing a bit of breakfast radio, and between you and me, I could do with the money. So
Lomas and the boy.
Lomas. What was it? We had someone come up with the what was it? Someone came up with it. Oh yeah, something's like, you just need someone's name. So Jill and the Whistle.
Yeah.
I love it. And I always, people always tell me I've got a voice for breakfast radio, but I think I've more got a voice for just selling stuff on breakfast radio.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like, coming up, we've got the top five right here, breakfast cereals. Tune in now and get a free box of special gay.
So good. Now, I've asked you to be here. Now, do you like lists?
I do love lists. I can so much so I can prove it to you right now, Jill. This is currently, hang on, I'm going to bring it up. Here we go. This is how much I love this. There's page one. And there's page two. And it's just page two.
He's showing me his list of what we're about to talk about, and it's written in like 0.4 font.
So I've got my must-do daily list, then I've got read and read again, then I've got my yearly focus, and then I've got my master action list for the office, then I've got my list for when I'm out and about, I've also got my list for being at home, and I've got my weekly checklist. That's right. This is the best way to not be productive and tick off a whole lot of stuff.
Tick them all off. Now, this podcast, what it is, we count down from 5 to 1 our favourite things on a topic. Now, listeners, you'll provide us with the topic. This is the first episode, so yes, we don't have a topic from you, listeners. But I've chosen one that I think Ben Lomas is going to be very much agreeable to, because I know he loves this product. We're going to be talking the top 5 breakfast cereals.
Yes.
Now, this is our choice.
Yeah, it's not the world's choice.
No.
Because that changes it. America gets involved. It's our top five. Now, it's your top five.
My top five.
And my top five.
I grew up in Australia. You navigated between countries.
Yes, I navigated between Africa. No. I navigated between the Netherlands and Australia. So, but mostly Australia.
Yeah. But what we want, if you're listening to this, I want to hear your top five. I want you to disagree with us. We will disagree with you as well. It's going to be fun. It's fun to argue about stuff that doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're counting down our top five. Now, just before we started the podcast, I did say to Ben, Muesli's is not included, and he's come back and said it has to include.
Yeah, and there's a caveat. It's like, I've got my top five. I agree, but my five in brackets, there is a Muesli component. Right. Because we've got to think about it. When Muesli appeared, it just appeared in the aisles, right?
Yes.
And that definitely, to be honest, I would love someone on the social to tell us, what is the definition of yes. Muesli? Like, what is it? You chuck a couple of puffs and one almond, you've got yourself fucking Birchall Muesli? Is that how it works?
Oh, Birchall Muesli. I love Birchall Muesli, but that's not. That's a.
Well, that's a category in itself.
Because you can't buy that in the shops. You can buy the ingredients and make it, but you're not. This is something you can get in a box or one of those flaccid bags. you know the cereal is healthy if it comes in one of those fucking like
flimsy things that you can't stack up. You look up there and you see the cornflakes just stacked right next to each other, and then down the bottom, some flimsy.
They're solid. They're strong. They're dependable. That's what you want. You want cereal in a box.
I love it because especially with Muesli, when it did appear, and it still does, because it can't stack up and it doesn't look good, it sits at the bottom. However, I did find this out. A friend of mine's brother works in sales, and he talks like the shelving height.
Yep.
I assume that was the case because his job is to go and check to make sure that other companies haven't moved the products into the middle section and then shoved them down the bottom. Because a lot of those Muesli brands end up in the bottom and people go, oh, that's because, you know, they can't stack up. Well, oh, no, no, no. Kellogg's gets the prime example in the middle shelf and then they come underneath.
So I worked in a supermarket and part of my job was stacking the shelves. I never once asked how come these products go in the spot and this one's going down the bottom. Anyway, let's get in. Right. Number five on your list. Here we go.
My number five. Now, I've been trying to find out the brand, but it is back in, I reckon, about 1991, 1992. Muesli had made an appearance, but then out of nowhere, this Muesli Flakes came out, right? So it was like a bit of a – and again – what is the definition of Muesli? It is very hard to determine, but it came out. It had like a coconut. It had a dried apricots.
Yeah.
It had some cornflakes or, you know, special cake on it. It was a bit of a mix of everything. Quite sweet. I think that's how they really sold Muesli on. They were like, if you looked at the sugar content, you go, fuck off, mate. This is. But so I came in, and the reason why is Mum came home one day to try something new, right? She's like, look, I came up, this friend of mine who I worked with said it was pretty good. And then I had a bowl and it was delicious. But what I have the most fascination, like I loved it so much, is because in that very first box, I also got my first CD, which came in for free, which was Darryl Braithwaite's Horses.
Darryl Braithwaite, like, you know, advertising to people who need Muesli, he knows his market. He knows. He's just going, Any Darryl Braithwaite CD should just be sold at Bunnings from now on.
Yeah,
that's where,
totally.
That's where all his market's going to be.
And then, and so when I got it, because but I remember that vividly because we got the CD and I was pumped. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, and then realized we don't have a CD player.
My brother got a CD from his girlfriend when he was in year 8 because he obviously told it, yeah, we've got a CD player. We didn't have a CD player. So she bought him the single to Arrested Development's Everyday People, I think, which was called People Every Day.
Yeah.
Even though, anyway. And we had that for 2 years before we even got a CD player.
Yeah, I remember we got ours at Boxing Day sales. Like, we waited and waited and waited and waited until it was like affordable because they were ridiculous back then.
Yeah.
And then we got it, and then I was, because I remember putting it on. And look, let's be honest, the song has held up.
Yeah. Well, it has. I saw it at Force Festival. Like, this is in Perth, and so the Force Festival there, it's in Fremantle, and how they have, because I was in the artist bar, which is like, one side of the football oval to, and you can watch it, and it's great. It's a great view. And when that song came on, he had about 1,000 people watching him. That song came on, I reckon 20,000 people just ran to the field. It was incredible.
It's made a resurgence, but also, like, I saw it at the Bushfire Relief concert, right? And it was the same thing that by now it was like 70,000 people singing Horses. Yeah. Like, and also he doesn't give it. He lets majority of the audience sing it.
He also it goes for about 12 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And what is he getting? 250. I'm always just thinking, I was like, for that song, that song has paid dividends because it's a cover.
Oh, I remember at Falls, he said, "Who here remembers Sherbet?" No one did. No one does, Daryl. No one. But then he played How's That? And everyone went, oh,
yeah.
I didn't know this was your song.
Yeah, he did exactly the same thing.
The other CD, because we got our CD player for Christmas and three boys, and so it was three CDs in there, and one was for my older brother. He got Pearl Jam's Vitalogy.
Oh, great.
My younger brother got Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive.
Oh, this is pretty good stuff.
And I got the Priscilla soundtrack.
And I've never been to me.
No. So, Muesli is number 5.
Yeah,
Muesli Flakes.
And Muesli Flakes. I'd like. I tried to Google Daryl Braithwaite Muesli. Nothing came up.
All right. My number 5 is Fruit Loops. Couldn't be more different from yours.
I know. It's the opposite.
Fruit Loops is just a bowl of sugar. It shouldn't be a cereal. It should be like lollies.
Lollies with colouring.
But this is why. This is in my house. We only had this one day a year. Okay, I don't know when it was, or we had it when we'd go camping and it would happen to be in one of those 8-pack of cereal boxes.
Oh, the 8-packs.
So good.
You think that it's funny they're still around.
I know. But they've now tried these because we went camping with my kids and we thought, we'll buy one of these. Nothing says camping as fighting over cereal. And so, but now they're trying to say you don't even need a bowl for it. You can just cut the box in a certain shape and you don't need the bowl. But I'm like, if you're taking scissors, you can take a fucking bowl. You don't need
it.
Also, guys, it's in a plastic container in the box. You don't need a bowl.
Yeah, totally, because if you open just the packet, then pour it in. But you know what? I've never done that.
No.
Like, people have talked about it. I've never done it.
No.
It just seems so impractical. But
Fruit Loops are so high. So this is one. So for me, what makes this higher than any of the other cereals that aren't on my list is that this is the only cereal where the dust is better than the product.
Like
a barbecue shape or a pizza shape, the flavouring is better than the actual thing.
Like wizard dust.
It was the only one in my house where us boys would fight over who got the last bit of the Fruit Loops because you got all the sugar flavouring. Because
then if you pour the milk in the end on top of that, you just pretty much had a big M.
It's like a fucking fruit tingle. It is.
Yeah. It looked, because the thing about it is like this goes delves way into my childhood, but I never trusted Fruit Loops purely based on the toucan on the front.
Don't trust a toucan.
No, I just was like, what does he know about cereal?
Whereas Frosties are, you're like, I'm bang on with Frosties.
Frosty, again, it's too American.
Yeah.
So, and that's where it's that thing where some of those ones who did jump the Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I reckon that was the one that just stayed over there.
Yeah, we had Frosties occasionally, but it was always only very occasionally. But I did.
Well, Frosties and Wheaties, I only found out about them when I watched the Michael Jordan Come Fly With Me.
Exactly. The Michael Jordan Wheaties box.
That
was the big thing. Yeah. All right. What do you got for number four?
Number four, I have. Now, again, I feel like this just goes through my stages of my childhood. So number four is Crunchy Nut.
Crunchy Nut, number four.
No, number four is Crunchy Nut. Now, for two reasons. One, Mum and Dad got sick of the muesli flakes. And then Dad came home once with Crunchy Nut. And I was, he goes, yeah, have a bowl of this. And, yeah, pretty much, I mean, it is probably just a step up from Fruit Loops, but it's hidden sugary cereal. It's got a litre of honey in there.
It's so good. Now, this is the other thing. I like my cereal dry.
Yep.
At night, when the kids go to sleep, that is my little treat. I'll have a little dry bowl of cereal. And
also, no milk at all.
No milk at all.
Oh, see, no. See, that's weird.
No, well, there's a bunch of us out there. I know there are.
It's a bunch of us. It's up there with people who stand up and wipe their ass. Are you one of those as well? Like,
well, without the dairy, that's very clean down there. But here's the thing. Like, but then I saw someone do this, and when they got their dry bowl of cereal, and then they put a little bowl of milk, and then what they'll do, they'll get their spoon of cereal and then dip it in the milk and then eat it that way.
Now, I get that.
That is, yeah, because no one likes the soggy fucking cereal.
No. It depends. Again, this goes through stages of your life. There's a stage where I loved soggy cereal, and now it's like I will have, instead of like, depending on cereal, I'll have five small bowls instead of one big one.
Yep.
And that's purely because of the milk ratio. Crunch, 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 crunch. Yep. Next one, crunch, 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 crunch. And your partner comes in and goes, I think you've had enough. Why don't you fuck off?
So your number four, Crunchy Nut Cornflakes.
Yep.
A very good choice.
Yeah.
Will it appear in my list? Who knows? Number four for me, Nutri-Grain. Nutri-Grain is number four, which goes back to this very good dry. This is, and my mum used to make this product. I don't know if you ever had this, called Nuts and Bolts.
No.
Nuts and Bolts is? It sounds hideous, works a treat. What it is, it's Nutri-Grain, peanuts, curry powder.
What the hell?
Chicken soup flavoring.
You're pulling my leg.
Put it all in, shake it up heaps. Some people I've heard have put some sultanas in there. Not for me. Like it dry. Shake it up and you just eat that. It's a real Boxing Day meal for our family.
What is that meal?
Have that in little bowls. Oh, so good.
It hot? So good. No.
No, it's just you can't do it hot. I think Mum makes it hot. She puts some oil in it. You put a bit of oil in it, so you put a bit of
and shake car it oil. That is, I have never heard of that.
It's called Nuts and Bolts. Delicious. Moorish. Oh. It's Moorish beverages.
G'day, mate.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.